even somebody as brilliant as Albert Einstein, thousands of people thereafter will try and prove it wrong or right. So in the end, one person, one scientist, well, they're not going to lead us astray for very long.
Thanks to a production team that we are certain has tremendous talent, Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
Also thanks to financial support from Rena Schulsky David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where scientists investigate the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Skeptic Check. Are you sure you're sure? If you'd like to hear more Big Picture Science, you can peruse our archives on our website, bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you would prefer to replace it with over-the-air radio because you feel certain in the subliminal subconscious cortex of your brain that it's better, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like the show. Oh, and have a comment, a criticism, or a suggestion? Well, throw in some praise for leavening, and then email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
Now, take Einstein. He came up with the theory of relativism, right? So here's how it works. Compared to you, I'm an attractive guy. Now, take Hank over there. Compared to him, well, there's aspects of my character I could work on, like my glutes. And this theory of Einstein's was the foundation of quantum automotive mechanics.
Skeptic Check is brought to you thanks to a generous grant from the Trimberger Family Foundation. At the Trimberger Family Foundation, we hold that skepticism is a lamp that lights the way to truth. You don't need to be a scientist to hold that lamp. Look for evidence. Keep on thinking. Trimberger.org.
Hi, this is Bill from I Fight Dragons, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. The name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Kathy Henning, and she is an expert in and teacher of meditation. Kathy, welcome to the show. Thank you for agreeing to do this.
Thank you so much, Mike. Good afternoon.
Now, we'll start right from the beginning. How long have you been doing meditation?
I have been practicing meditation for over 35 years. I began during a time when I was living in Los Angeles back in 1976. And I heard about meditation back then and subsequently traveled to India and to Europe and lived in meditation centers throughout India and Europe. And it's just I found it to be a very fulfilling aspect of my life, and it's continued to be part of my practice and pretty much the foundation of my life ever since.
Mm-hmm. Was that back in your hippie days?
I'm a little post-hippie, but
oh, okay.
It was certainly in my early 20s. Let's put mm-hmm, it that
right.
way. Don't do the math now.
Right, no, we don't do math, trust me. I stay away from numbers as much as possible for the most part. But that's interesting. So you traveled all over, and what are some of the things you learned about meditation through your travels?
Well, I would say that the first and foremost, the most important thing that I learned about meditation is the importance of meditation. During that time when I was a young woman living in Los Angeles, actually I was living in Hollywood, and I had a great job at CBS Television and blue skies and plenty of sunshine and life was good, but it just felt to me like something was missing from my life. And I know a lot of people that I meet even today through my classes and in my teaching that it seems like no matter what we possess or what we've accumulated or what we've attained or what kind of careers we have, quite often it still feels like there's that little piece, that final ingredient that is the final piece of the puzzle that gives us the experience of fulfillment and completion and contentment. And so the most important thing that I learned was that missing ingredient is meditation, because meditation gives us an experience of who we are from the inside out, and not just those things that we experience in the physical world in our day-to-day activities.
Mm-hmm. So it was that little voice in the back of your head that told you that something wasn't quite right, that you needed to pursue something different?
Beautifully put, Mike. You know, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing in my little studio apartment. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was very quiet. And I looked out the window, and it was as though I could see down the road of my life, just in a flash. And I just had this sense come from deep within me that felt like if life was just about the pursuit of happiness in the external world, I just didn't really get how that would completely fulfill me or bring lasting happiness, because after all, the exterior world is always in motion. It's in constant change and fluctuation. So yes, it was that inner sense, that inner voice that something is missing, even though I didn't know what it was. And from that day, within a couple months, my best friend came back from New York, and she said, "You're never going to guess what happened to me." And she had heard about meditation, and as she was sharing with me about it, I felt that questioning or that wondering, that voice from inside, it was as though the voice was fulfilled just in hearing her talk about meditation. So within 6 months or so, I sold the few possessions that I had and decided to go to India. And for the next 6 years, I lived full-time in meditation centers in India and around the world. And in living in the meditation centers, I was able to steep myself in the practice, daily practices of meditation and becoming quiet inside and studying the teachings of the great masters. And it's through my experience, my profound experience in those days, that really laid the foundation for not only my ongoing meditation practice today, but what I share with others in my own teaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a very strong commitment to go over and do that for so many years. Did you get tired while you were over there? I mean, was there ever a time you felt kind of burnt out, or was there always inspiration to guide you?
There was always inspiration. In fact, when the time came for me to leave the ashram, I really didn't want to leave, but, you know, sometimes there's certain things that are out of our control, and we just have to go with the flow. My visa wasn't being renewed, and so I didn't have a whole lot of choice. I returned to the United States and actually, you know, lived in Manhattan for a couple of years and landed back here in Detroit, which is where I'm from. But, you know, I think even from a very young age, Mike, that yearning to inquire deep into who am I as a human being, I think that was there even as a child. And so to come to know meditation and to have the opportunity to live full-time in a meditation center, it was a natural fit and certainly one of the greatest times in my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you lived overseas in various locations, did you work? I mean, how did you make any income?
It kind of happened magically, you know, when things are meant to be. And, of course, in those days I didn't have a car payment or a mortgage payment.
Yeah, right. That helps,
so
right?
So I had a little... I had a little more flexibility in my lifestyle. I was single, and I lived in Paris for a couple months, and I just happened to land a job at the American College in Paris, so I picked up some money there. I had saved a couple $100, you know, prior to my leaving Los Angeles. At certain times when I was living at the meditation centers, I was actually on staff full time. So I worked in the kitchen, you know, preparing meals. That was my job, so to speak. And my room and board was taken care of, and I got a small stipend. So, you know, again, it was just meant to be, and things happened and fell into place very beautifully. And that's the other thing. When it came time for me to leave, my visa wasn't renewed and my money was running out. So clearly it was time for me to leave. But along the rest of the time when I was there, things fell into place very beautifully and very magically.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, there are no accidents in life, right? I mean, even though you started to run out of money, your visa was expiring, you just, you know, did what you had to do, accommodated whatever situation needed to be taken care of, and just came back to the United States, right? New York, was it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I was offered a lovely apartment in the East Village, and stayed with someone who was also interested in meditation and worked there for a couple of years. And then family situations required me to come back to the Detroit area. And so here I am, kind of back to my roots, and it's been a lovely experience, and I'm just really grateful to be able to share with the Metro Detroit area what I've learned over the years, because people are under a lot of stress these days.
Yes, they are.
And meditation certainly is one of the most beneficial ways to, and a very easy way to relieve stress and tension, and to help quiet the restless activity of the mind.
Mm-hmm. This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Kathy Henning. She's an expert in and teacher of meditation. I'm just curious, what is your definition of meditation?
My definition of meditation would be one's ability to quiet their mind. There are many different types of meditation. Present moment meditation is the meditation that I founded a number of years ago, and the meditation that I teach. And it's really the ability to turn our attention inward and experience that quiet place within that is always there. And sometimes it's very difficult to believe or to experience that quiet place inside, because there's such a pull of the mind and the senses to be engaged in the outer world. And so when we're able to close our eyes and sit quietly for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, a half hour, whatever works, and to be able to quiet the mind enough that we can experience that peace and that love and serenity and contentment that is always there behind the activity of the mind, that is true meditation.
Mm-hmm. So even 5 minutes is beneficial?
You know, I always say it's like pennies in a bank. It all adds up. And people are so busy these days, as I'm sure you're aware, Mike. And I always tell people, if you can do 5 minutes periodically throughout the day, or 10 minutes in the morning before you begin your day, 10 minutes when you come home from work, that transition time between that, you know, busy activity of the day, 10 or 15 minutes, 5 minutes of sitting quietly and closing your eyes, turning your attention inward, allowing all your senses and your mind and your body to rest. It is so healing, it's rejuvenating, it's purifying, and it helps people sleep better. It'll help you digest your food better. If people do it in the morning, so many people tell me that if they sit for just 5 or 10 minutes in the morning before they go to work, it makes a whole difference in their day. And when they don't do it, they can tell a difference in the experience of their day. So one of the keys, and I'm maybe jumping ahead a little bit here, but I think it's very important to say that one of the keys is to find the time that works best for you and your lifestyle and your schedule. If it's in the morning, great. If it's on your lunch hour, great. After work, before dinner, if you do it after dinner, you should wait about an hour or so, or you tend to get sleepy, maybe before going to bed. But the thing is to find those times through the day where you can, I should also say present moment meditation is not just about meditating in a chair with your eyes closed. That's part of it. But the other thing is present moment meditation, everyday tools and practices, where I teach simple tools that can be used throughout our day as we go about daily activities to help the mind stay present and calm and centered. And in that way, that serene, quiet place inside is never too far away because we do the everyday tools and practices, and it keeps us in touch with that quiet place inside.
Mm-hmm. So it's like anything else. The more you practice it, the better you become at it.
Practice, practice, practice.
Yes. You tell everybody that, right?
That's why they call it meditation practice. Mm-hmm. And as I share over and over with people, it's so important. One of my anagram, RAPP, I think anagram is the word. R is for regularity. Find that time to make meditation a regular practice. A is acceptance. Whatever happens in your meditation, please don't judge it or think you know how your meditation should go. This is the time to give up all of that knowing or needing to know or needing to control. Let all that go and just sit, close your eyes, turn your attention inward, and whatever happens, just turn it over to your higher wisdom and let your meditation naturally unfold and reveal itself. Meditation is more about getting out of the way than it is doing. Our only job really is to sit and close our eyes and turn our attention inward. And the P's, there's two P's in RAP, is patience and practice.
Mm-hmm. Now, you make it sound so simple, but I think just by virtue of what you've said, it's difficult to really just quiet yourself. I think people are so wound up nowadays that it's hard for them to really relax and become quiet enough to just listen to whatever their body's telling them. Do you find this to be true?
It is very true. And, you know, I've been meditating over 35 years now. And when I sit for meditation, I'm still aware of thoughts. Someone asked a great sage once, how do I empty my mind from thinking? How do I get rid of my thoughts? And he said, that is very, very difficult to do. But one thing we can do is focus the mind on one thing. So in present moment meditation, one of the greatest tools that we use is our breathing. Isn't it amazing, Mike, how little attention we put on our breath and our breathing, yet it is our life force.
Mm-hmm.
If there were no breath in the body, we would not be here. Our breath is always with us. It's sugar-free.
Yeah, well, for most of us.
It's with us wherever we go. There's no extra packing or schlepping. We can be riding a bus. We can be waiting for our computer to boot up. We can be walking through the grocery store shopping. We could be doing dishes. Many, many mundane activities throughout the day where if just for a few minutes we check in with our mind and very gently, very compassionately, we draw our mind, our awareness towards our breathing and just become aware of our in-breath and become aware of our out-breath. And just for a few moments, now, of course, not if you're driving or operating machinery something where you need to be focusing, but there's so many mundane activities that if we just gently guide our attention towards our breathing and for a few minutes ride the wave of our breath, the in-breath and the out-breath, even those few minutes, again, they all add up. And that's part of the practice. That's part of the everyday tools and practices. We have to begin creating a relationship with our mind, and we have to begin learning the tools of how to manage our mind and guide our mind and quiet our mind. And when and one of the simple ways to do that is to just focus the mind on one thing. And again, our breath is one of our most valuable assets for doing that. And let's see, what was I going to say? It's a great tool even when you sit for meditation. I love that you say that I make it sound so easy. Present moment meditation is a very lighthearted, practical approach to meditation. And if we just sit comfortably and we close our eyes and we begin focusing the mind on our breathing and again ride the wave of the in-breath and the out-breath, then the mind, and I actually, Mike, too, if we practice this, like I say, during all those mundane activities, then when we sit for meditation, we've already laid the foundation. We've already begun to take hold of the reins of the mind. It's just like if you were to ride a wild horse. You have those reins in your hand, managing the power of the horse, guiding the horse where you want it to go. The same is true with the mind. We need to take hold of the reins of our mind and steer it and guide it in an uplifting direction, steer it in ways that empower us, that uplift us, that are kind and loving towards ourselves, towards others, towards acceptance. And then when we sit to meditate, we have already begun disciplining the mind. And so when we sit for meditation, that chatter of the mind, which if you've noticed, it's 24/7, that's just part of being human, then that chatter of the mind becomes more of a background rather than the foreground where we're kind of swimming in the soup of the mind. That chatter becomes background, just like the background of a stage. And what takes place in front of that background is that quiet peace.
Well, I think what you pointed out, people do have the tendency to breathe in a shallow manner. They don't really use their full lung capacity. And it's like you said, if people do that more often, I think they'll become more relaxed. Is that right?
It's true. And before we sit for meditation, you know, again, we pay so little attention to our breath. And sometimes as we get involved and caught up in the day-to-day activities, you know, and the other thing, Mike, is when we take a few minutes to meditate, again, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, evening, it's like putting the mind on pause, like hitting the pause button of a remote. And those few minutes of pausing, it's so relaxing and healing. Please remind me, I lost my trend of thought. Please remind me what you just said.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, basically people breathe in a shallow manner and that by practicing full deep breaths, overall, that helps them to relax, especially in panic situations or stressful situations, they're more likely, once they've been trained, instead of breathing incorrectly, they breathe better, they breathe deeper so that they're more relaxed. Is that something you found?
Yes. And so as throughout the day, I mean, I often find myself, you know, throughout the day just taking a deep breath and exhaling long. We always want to breathe in through our nose. Sometimes we can take, whether it be throughout our day or previous, just prior to as we begin our meditation, if we want to take some deep, relaxing breaths, breathing in through the nose, and we can exhale long either through the nose or through the mouth, just to kind of settle in. And as you say, so often as we get tense, the breath becomes more shallow. And there's always a, like a domino effect. When the breath becomes shallow, then throughout the body and the mind, there is there's a domino effect. So throughout our day, or as I said, as we begin our meditation, if we take some deep, relaxing breath, and on that exhale, we release. We release tension, we release stress, and we use that exhale as an opportunity to let go and to relax the body, relax the mind, and become present in the moment. And remember that the breath can be wide and it can be long, and just a few of those deep, relaxing breaths throughout the day can make a huge difference in our ability to manage stress and just to stay present. We miss a lot of our life because we're not present in the moment. So even if we take those deep breaths throughout the day, and for that moment, as you said, take those deep inhalations and exhalations, and as we do so, use it as an opportunity to become present in the moment and to center the mind, then we bring our full awareness back to the present moment, and we continue on with our day and experience all that life has to offer us in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest is Kathy Henning, and she's an expert in and teacher of meditation. So there's no real great mystery to meditation. You don't really have to have any special equipment or go to a special place necessarily. You can pretty much do it or do part of it wherever you're at, whenever you feel the need to do it, correct?
That's true. Now, for present moment meditation, there's a few different aspects. One is our sitting meditation, which is very, very important. When we can sit quietly for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, a half hour, as often as we can, just holding the body quiet for those few minutes increases our ability to quiet the mind for that length of time. One thing to keep in mind is that even if it seems like nothing is happening in your meditation, don't get hooked by that. Don't ever think that nothing is happening in your meditation. Meditation is not something that can be understood through the mind or reached through the mind. That quiet place inside that is always there, that quiet pool of serenity, that only gets, we reach that place by becoming quiet. So one thing is that discipline, and I know a lot of people don't like the word discipline, maybe structure or regularity, but often in my classes people will say, I could sit good for 10 minutes, but after 10 minutes I found myself fidgeting. I wanted to get up and start moving. Well, that's okay. If that's what works for you, then that's fine. Keep up your 10-minute meditation practice. Now, the other thing that we might choose to do is the next time sit for 12 minutes. Even if you feel like you're not meditating those last couple minutes, that's okay. That extra discipline of sitting, or that extra 2 minutes of patience, of sitting those extra 2 minutes, that can have such a powerful effect, a rippling effect out into your life. That extra 2 minutes of patience might help you be more patient the next time someone cuts you off in traffic, or the next time someone says something that maybe doesn't really resonate very well with you and your inclination is to react. So, you know, take a few moments extra. Maybe set an extra, try and build it up to 15 minutes if you want to. Because, again, that extra time of sitting, it will also help discipline the mind, because sometimes when we get into that habit and we think, ooh, 10 minutes, it's time for me to get up and start moving, that inclination, that comes from the mind. So by sitting an extra few minutes, it also helps to say, okay, mind, I'm the boss here. I'm going to sit for a couple extra minutes and you just be quiet until I say it's time to get up. So we do want to have our sitting meditation, and in addition to our everyday tools and practices. And one thing I just want to point out before I forget here, which is very important, is if we want to establish a regular meditation sitting practice, it's very important, or I should say it's helpful, if we create a place in our home where we do our sitting meditation. Choose a place. It can be just a corner of a room. It could be a whole room, whatever. If you can have it be away from TV and noise and computer, a quiet place that is your place for meditation. If we go in the kitchen, we want to eat. If we go in the bedroom, we want to sleep. Well, when we have that urge, that calling, kind of that inner pull to sit for meditation, we're much more apt to do so if we already have a place established. So find a chair that's comfortable. Lazy boys and overstuffed chairs, they're not necessarily the best. But choose a chair or a cushion on the floor, maybe leaning up against a wall, that is comfortable, a comfortable seat that doesn't, maybe, you know, sometimes when we sit in a particular chair, the way that the seat or the back is formed, it dictates our posture. It might slump our seat backwards or round our posture, round our back. If you can sit in, sometimes car table chairs are the best. Personally, I like sitting in a chair with no arms so that my arms are not confined in any way. But sit in a chair that has a flat, comfortable seat, an upright back that is still comfortable so that you can hold a good posture, sometimes putting a small cushion or a pillow at your lower back to support your lower back is helpful. Again, meditation is called the natural state. So please don't think that you need to hold a stiff meditation posture in order to correctly meditate. No, you want to be comfortable. Now you want to have a nice upright posture, holding your back as straight as possible, but still comfortable. So a good posture, feet flat on the floor in front of you with your feet directly under your knees, back straight. Feel that elongation, that sort of... the elongation along your spine, from the base of your spine up through the back of your waist, up through the back of your heart, through the back of your neck, and through the back of your head. Feel that elongation, hands resting gently on your lap with your palms facing upward. I like the palms upward because it's a nice posture of releasing, letting go, acceptance. We often hold on to so many things, whether they be opinions or emotions or material possessions. And this posture of letting go of the hands open, it's very relaxing. So good meditation posture. And the more you sit in your place, your meditative place, then your meditative energy will accumulate in that place, and it will support you going into your meditation. Keep it clean. You could have maybe a piece of incense or a fresh flower or whatever you'd like to make that your place where you spend quality time with your inner self.
Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of simple in a way in that you don't really have to get into some type of yoga pose or do any chanting or anything to do with chimes or anything like that. Basically, like you're saying, just take a few minutes out, concentrate on your breath, and just relax yourself and just let things flow.
That's right. Now, things like chanting or mantras, which is a repetition of a, you know, small set of words or syllables. Sometimes they're in English, sometimes they're in Sanskrit. All of these, or music, perhaps a gentle kind of music without words. There's a lot of meditation music out on the market. All of these are meant to help quiet the mind. So meditation is something that you can experiment with. And yes, Mike, you're absolutely right. You don't have to sit in any kind of yogic postures. If you're comfortable sitting on the floor, and sometimes people want to sit on a cushion, but maybe it's too much on their hips or their knees. There are many kinds of pillows out there that you can place under your knees to help be comfortable in that posture. You could use, again, a pillow or maybe some towels to support that posture, but it's important to just be comfortable. And the other thing is, during your meditation, if you feel like you want to refresh your posture, please do so. That's perfectly fine. And again, you can try on different, you know, if a mantra works for you to help quiet your mind, feel free to use a mantra. If it doesn't, then don't use a mantra. You can experiment and make your custom make and refine your meditation practices to whatever best is going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, something you said earlier, you know, pick that quiet place in your home. But again, isn't that somewhat difficult sometimes when you have the kids running around, maybe your spouse is watching TV or doing whatever, listening to music? Is it really tough sometimes to find that special place and that special time in order to meditate?
It certainly could be. And again, that's why a lot of people get up early. And I know a lot of people who come to my classes, they have to get up early just in order to get to work. So, you know, we want to make meditation work for our lifestyle. And I'm so glad that you raised that point about people that we might live with or children. And a really, really powerful thing to incorporate in the home is partnership with other people as it relates to meditation and this quiet time. One thing I want to say is, TV plays a big role in our life these days. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of TV watching.
Right.
There's
computers
a lot of computer
also too. Right.
Games and computer interaction and activity. If we can turn those type of gadgets off at least an hour before we go to sleep, the quality of our sleep will notice that there's a definite difference in the quality of our sleep. All of those things, the whatever it is, the music, the TV, the computers, they are all, they keep the mind active. They keep the mind and the senses pulled outward. And sometimes, Mike, I meet so many people in my classes who say they can't even get a good night's sleep because their mind is so active. Mm-hmm. How can we remain healthy? How can we lead a lifestyle that is in balance, harmony, and a life of moderation, all of these things, if we don't have a life of moderation and balance and harmony, it affects our physical, mental, and emotional, and spiritual well-being. So if we're able to turn off the TV and all of these gadgets an hour before going to sleep and enroll the other members of your household into being your partner and your companion in doing this, it's going to make a difference for everyone. The kids, whoever you might be living with, whether it's a spouse, we can read, we can meditate, we can maybe even go to bed earlier because we're not up watching TV late. And all of these little things, they are so beneficial as it relates to our ability to remain healthy and happy and experience wholeness. If there's quiet in the home, even, you know, if we say maybe after dinner or before going to bed, okay, let's everyone be quiet for 15 minutes. No talking, no music, no sound, nothing. That 15 minutes or 20 minutes of complete quiet will resonate throughout the home, and then everybody's allowed to quiet down inside. And even the vibes in the house get quiet, and then it just really helps with the quality of sleep.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to say that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest is Kathy Henning. She's an expert in and teacher of meditation. Now, that all sounds good, but again, some of these computer games can be addictive, television shows, whatever the case may be. Is it hard to get a family to buy into this kind of concept?
Well, Mike, I think we can start small. Imagine what the quality of the kids' studies and ability to comprehend what a difference it would make if maybe before or during or after, I guess not so much after, but before or during the time when they're studying, if everyone were to just sit quietly for a few minutes, or maybe go for a walk and not talk during the walk, just have a silent 10-minute walk around the block, notice the trees, listen to the birds, appreciate Mother Nature, watch your breath. That's another everyday tool in practice. Is even as we walk, particularly during the summer months, if we walk and coincide our breathing, our in-breath and our out-breath with every step that we take, people notice things in their neighborhoods or even just the beautiful quiet that otherwise, if they're taking a walk and they're doing kind of a power walk, now power walk has its place, but another type of walk is a walking meditation. It's just really a beautiful way of, again, kind of bringing our whole being into alignment, getting quiet, and getting centered. So I think with the kids or with the partners, roommates, you know, just start small and say, hey, let's just try this on, and not make it seem like something serious. Just start out small and let them experience the benefits of it and see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about breathing, though, you're talking about nice, full breaths, correct? I mean, really breathe in the air until you can feel your lungs completely filled. Perhaps your stomach is extended a bit. That's the kind of breathing you're talking about, right?
That kind of breathing, we want to just do maybe two or three of those kind of breaths, either, as we mentioned earlier, during our day to help us relax and settle in a little bit, or prior to our meditation. But after we've done a few of those, then we should just let our breath return to its natural pace. Nothing should be forced or anything other than natural. We just want to close our mouth and breathe in and out through our nose and return our breath to our natural breathing. So actually, so that the breath almost becomes invisible. We're just using it as a tool to guide the mind and follow the breath as a vehicle to help quiet the mind.
Mm-hmm. And when do you meditate? Is that first thing in the morning or throughout the day? How does that work for you?
I meditate in the morning. It's my intention to meditate twice a day, again, even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes. Because, you know, it's so important, Mike, that the more we tap into that place inside, it never gets too far away. Otherwise, we fall into that place of forgetfulness, and we get caught up in the world. We get caught up in our daily activities. So I try and make it a practice to meditate in the morning, meditate in the evening, and then I'm always doing my everyday tools and practices, whether it's watching my breath, whether it's checking in throughout the day, just to see where is my mind. And if it's, you know, the mind, the mind does not want to stay in the present moment. If the mind were to stay present in the moment, it's almost like the mind would be out of a job. It would be unemployed. So it's our job to, it loves to go into the past and go into the future and kind of hang out there. And so many times people will even say, even when I'm reading, I notice that my mind is drifting. So it's very important that, as I said earlier, and again, this is one of the tools that I practice throughout the day, is I check into in with my mind and I say, hey, where is my mind? And if it's not totally focused on what I'm doing, then I bring it back to the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing, Mike, I just wanted to PS is, it's the natural tendency of the mind and the senses to be pulled outward. That is how we as human beings engage in the world. And, of course, we're here as physical human beings with the body, mind, senses. That's why we're here. We're here to engage in the world. And so, again, it's the natural tendency for the mind and the five senses to be pulled outward towards the world. That if we don't take that time to put everything on hold, the body, mind, and senses, and turn it inward, there's never that opportunity to tap into that place of quiet stability inside. And because of that, people get overwhelmed. They're exhausted. They have high blood pressure, they have anxiety disorders. So we have to, I shouldn't say that so emphatically, but it's very important, again, for health and well-being that we take those few minutes to turn our mind and our senses away from that very, very strong outward pull of the world and turn it inward to the very core of our being, towards our inner self.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think what you're saying, it sounds very simple, but again, hard to do just living in the now. Like you said, people's minds start to wander and they start thinking about other things. And it's really hard to stay centered right in the present moment.
That's right. That's why practice, practice, practice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great meditation teacher who said, when I'm drinking tea, I'm drinking tea. When I'm walking, I'm walking. And if we just took that one tool, that one practice, and began to weave it in throughout our day, imagine what a difference that would make in our life. Even when we're listening to someone, it's very rare that we are fully listening to them 100%. Even when we're listening to people, our natural tendency is to be thinking about what we're going to say when they're done talking, or, judging in some way what it is they're saying, or what we're going to have for dinner or lunch. If we can just guide the mind and hold it steady in the moment, the whole quality of our life our relationships, the things that we're involved in, just through that small practice, the whole quality of our life can change. And that is why, and again, it kind of reverts back to the ability to sit still, even for 10 minutes, it enhances our ability to stay present in the moment. Imagine, now if we can't even keep our physical body still for a few minutes, how are we going to keep our mind still? One feeds upon the other. The effects of meditation are profound. And a very interesting question is, how do we know our meditation is working? If we sit down to meditate and it seems like, oh gosh, all I did was, you know, go over my shopping list, or all I did was listen to my mind, then how are we going to know that our meditation is bearing fruit, that it is beneficial? We are going to know because the very activities and fabric of our life will begin to transform. And I promise, if you start meditating regularly, people will look at you and they'll say, something's different about you. They might say, did you get your hair cut?
Mm-hmm, right.
Did you take a vacation? Something's different about you. We know that our meditation is working because we begin to see transformation happen in every area of our life, our relationships, our families, our own inner joy, our patience, our experience of ourselves and others. Maybe we decide that we want to alter our lifestyle, maybe start exercising or start eating better. All of these things, if we don't eat well, if we stay up late at night or don't eat healthy foods, all of these things have an effect. And when we start meditating, just through the power of the inner self, through the power, the very subtle power of meditation, that inner transformation that happens just by our sitting, all many, many areas of our life very naturally become transformed. And I will say as well, even after meditating 36 years, I constantly find that I'm not the same. I'm not the same person that I was a year ago. My reactions and, you know, that constant action and reaction sort of thing. Somebody says something or somebody does something or I have a thought. That, it begins, it's like the waves, you know, little by little by little. Instead of being tidal waves, they just become, you know, they become smaller and smaller and smaller. And in time, life becomes more enjoyable. It becomes more manageable. And the benefits of meditation are endless, and they ripple into every area of our life.
Mm-hmm. When you've meditated, have you ever received any visions or insight into your life or the life of others in hopes that it might guide you through life? Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Well, there's a couple things that I would like to say about that, and thank you for bringing that up, Mike. One thing is, everybody's meditations could be different. If we talk with someone else or we hear other people sharing about their meditation, what happens to them might never happen to us, and that is perfect. My motto for our classes, you know, when like the football team gets in the huddle on the field and they have a cheer, our cheer or our motto is, everything's perfect. Please do not ever expect something to happen. Oh, I didn't see lights. Oh, I didn't hear any sounds. Oh, I didn't have any visions. Do not go into your meditation with any kind of expectation. In India, there's no shoes worn in the meditation halls, and also, you know, pretty much meditation halls throughout the world. And there was a sign by the shoe rack outside the meditation hall when I lived in India, and it said, leave your ego with your shoes. And I like to say, as in addition to your ego, leave that, those expectations and that need to control or to know, leave that with your shoes. So whatever happens to you in your meditation is exactly perfect. That's our motto. Everything is perfect. And even when you sit for meditation, one day you might feel like you were gliding into this very peaceful place. And one important thing to say here is that sometimes when we go into those deep, quiet places of meditation, it feels like sleep. And we think, oh, my gosh, all I did was sleep. No, that is a state of meditation. It is a thought-free state. And if that's what happens in your meditation, that deep, quiet relaxation is exactly what you needed. Your body needed it. Your mind needed it. And sometimes just from being in that state for 10, 20 minutes, you can come out of it feeling like you had 4, 5, 6, 8 hours sleep. Very healing and rejuvenating. So number one, don't have any expectations and don't think that in order to have a successful meditation, you would have had to seen some lights or had something, kind of out of the ordinary happen. Whatever happens in your meditation is perfect for you because it's your inner self, your inner wisdom that is guiding your meditation. And the second thing is the sages of meditation say that all answers lie in silence. So if there's anything that you maybe are deliberating or you feel challenged with, sometimes if you just sit quietly for meditation and, again, get out of the way, the answers that you're looking for will come to you in meditation. And you might have to sit more than one time, but don't worry about it. Or, you know, and sometimes often when we're challenged or we've had an extremely stressful day, it might seem more difficult to quiet the mind. Well, that's okay. That's, you had a very busy day. You know, I just want to say here, Mike, when we came into this world, no one sat down with us and said, okay, Kathy, or okay, Mike, I'm going to teach you how to create a relationship with your mind. They teach us how to knit and how to drive a car, but they didn't necessarily teach us how to have a healthy relationship with our mind. So all of a sudden, we get this idea that we're going to sit for meditation, and oh my gosh, why isn't my mind becoming quiet? Well, our mind has had its way for a very long time. So be patient, and even if it seems like your mind was busy during your meditation, that's okay. Sometimes that's the way it's going to be, and sometimes it's going to be very, very quiet. But what you want to focus on are those quiet times that you experience in between the thoughts. And how do we know that we experience quiet times, those peaceful, peaceful times in our meditation? Because all of a sudden we're aware that we had a thought, that we were somewhere. Well, we can't come back to having a thought unless we were in a quiet place. So just hang in there and keep sitting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could go on. This is very interesting. However, we have to start to wrap it up, and I'm just wondering, could you share with our listeners any information you want to on how to get in touch with you?
Yes, and Mike, I just want to thank you. This has just been such a wonderful opportunity. You've just been such a gracious and wonderful host, so thank you so much. My email, if you want to contact me, is presentmoment@myexcel.com. My website is www.livinginthepresentmoment.com, and I do have a beautiful meditative CD called Living in the Present Moment, Everyday Tools and Practices, and it does include the music is fantastic. It includes a beautiful guided meditation, just like I lead people in my classes, and that's available at my website, livinginthepresentmoment.com. You can go to contact us on the website and find the email as well as the phone number. And please feel free to contact me.
Mm-hmm. Do you have ongoing classes?
I do. People can contact me with through the email, presentmoment@myexcel.com, and let me know what city they live in, and I can update them monthly on classes that are going on. I lead workshops throughout the Metro Detroit area. And the classes are also updated on a regular basis, usually the beginning of the month, on the website.
Mm-hmm. So is this something you do full-time now?
Full-time, that's a good question. I'm working on many, many projects, doing some writing, getting ready to do some more recording in addition to teaching. Yeah, it's full-time.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, Kathy, thank you very much for agreeing to do the show. Very interesting. I'm glad you were able to do the show. Once again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and you've been listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. I want to thank my special guest for this month, Kathy Henning, for agreeing to do the show. It was really interesting. I could have gone on and on. There were several more questions that I thought of, but unfortunately, we ran out of time. So once again, thanks to Kathy for doing the show. I just want to remind everybody that we'll be back next month on the 17th of April, so be sure to check out another edition of the show at that time. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for helping me out with this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. And I just want to remind everybody that we are going to be having our fourth annual Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. That's right, our fourth one, believe it or not. And that's Saturday, March 24th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Student and Culinary Arts Center on the campus of Henry Ford Community College. There will be a great selection of vendors, readers, and body workers. Local musicians will be performing in our cafe area. And starting at noon, we have some very interesting speakers for you to enjoy. Admission cost to this fantastic event is only $5, and students with current school identification are free. Once again, that's the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, Saturday, March 24th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Henry Ford Community College, and we will see you there. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Metaphysically Speaking. Have a great day, everybody.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn.